Why, the shape of his head is quite altered. Dr. Robert Darwin, in 1836, after Charles's five-year voyage. In the summer of 1838, in his rented rooms on Great Marlborough Street, London, Charles Darwin drew a line down the middle of a piece of scrap paper. He had been back in England for almost 2 years, after a monumental voyage around the world. He was in his late 20s. It was time to decide. Across the top of the left-hand side, he wrote, "Marry." On the right, he wrote, "Not marry." And in the middle, "This is the question." It was easy for Charles to think of things to write under "not marry." "Freedom to go where one liked," he began. Charles loved to travel. His voyage had lasted almost 5 years. He had been the naturalist on the HMS Beagle, a British surveying ship. He was horribly seasick while on board, but he spent as much time as he could on land, exploring on horseback and on foot, and collecting thousands of specimens, from corals in the Cocos-Keeling Islands of the Indian Ocean to beetles in Australia to a fox in Chiloé Island, Chile. He now lived in London with his servant from the Beagle, Symes Covington, fiddler and boy to the poop cabin. Charles had taught Symes to shoot and skin birds and to help him list and catalogue the specimens. Now Charles and Symes were surrounded by neatly stacked wooden crates, casks and barrels filled with many of their treasures from Patagonia, Brazil, Chile and Tierra del Fuego. Fossil bones, skins, shells, fish preserved in spirits of wine, mammalia in spirits of wine, insects, reptiles and birds in spirits of wine, plants, rocks, carcasses of dead animals and beetles. What if Charles wanted to go on another adventure and collect more specimens? How could he do that if he got married? Next, under "not marry," he wrote, "Choice of society and little of it. Conversation of clever men at clubs." On Great Marlborough Street, Charles lived just a few doors away from his older brother, Erasmus, and he was spending much of his time with Eras and his circle of intellectual friends, which included the historian and writer Thomas Carlyle and his wife Jane, the writer Harriet Martineau, and the Darwin's first cousin, Hensley Wedgwood. They discussed the huge changes in England brought on by industrialisation. When Charles had left for his voyage, there were a few trains. Now the railroad zigzagged all over the country, reaching places only horse-drawn carriages had gone before. The growing number of mills and factories changed the landscape as well. Towns and cities were expanding, as was the division between rich and poor. The rich benefited from the new industry and from Great Britain's burgeoning empire. The poor suffered in the squalor that Charles Dickens was capturing so well in his serialised novels. Erasmus and his circle debated the poor laws, which were shunting the destitute into workhouses. They discussed the need for social reform. There were divisions in religion in 19th century England too. Religious zealots and religious dissenters were making noise, while members of the Church of England and Unitarians like the Darwins also quietly questioned their faith. Free-thinking liberals, Eras and his circle were respected members of the British upper classes, and Charles found it easy and stimulating to be with them. Because they were open-minded and liberal, Charles knew he could broach with them some of the radical scientific thoughts he was beginning to have. This was what mattered to him. Not going to dinner parties, teas and other torturous social occasions where people inundated him with seemingly endless questions about his travels. Not that all of his social occasions were torturous. Charles was spending time with, and being courted by, three sisters in one family –